Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one this evening. And it's good to be gathered in the house of the Lord. Just to say, wee Laurie sent me a message. I never got it. I was home today. And he's away at a funeral. Some friends have passed away. And he's away at a funeral today. To show his respects and ask that we pray for the family. And so we want to just do that. Pray for Brother Laurie, and different things planned to preach tonight, but I thought with the present what's happening with Israel, maybe I should share a wee bit about Israel. And there's so many things what you can share about Israel, and I'm definitely no expert on all the things about Israel, because there's so many scriptures and verses about Israel. But maybe just a wee bit tonight about the time of the Gentiles in Israel. And we could look at it, the Word of God. And we just thank the Lord for His mercy. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 21. Luke 21. And there's many verses in this we could read. You know, this whole chapter is where the disciples ask Christ two questions and the signs of his coming. And then it goes right on down to the destruction of Jerusalem and the second coming of the Lord. But I want to just read one verse, verse 24 of Luke chapter 1. Maybe we can stand for we read the Word of God tonight. Verse 24 of Luke chapter 1. Chapter 21. Sorry. Luke chapter 21. Praise God. Verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Let's just pray our heads tonight. And if you need a prayer, just lift your hand up before the Lord this evening. God bless you. The Lord bless you. And I do need you to pray for me with the whole work situation. And we want to remember Laurie's friends as well. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we do bow before you tonight in the name of thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just thank you and praise you for your mercy and for your grace, Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord, you'll bless your word to our hearts tonight. And Lord, that you'll just speak to us from the Word of God this evening. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' precious name. We're conscious of the need of the Holy Spirit this evening. We're conscious that we need your presence, your anointing, because your anointing breaks every yoke. And Father, I do pray for every hand raised in this house tonight. You'll meet every need and answer every prayer in Jesus' precious name. Pray for Brother Laurie. You'll strengthen him and bless him and make him a blessing. And for those that he's mentioned has been bereaved, Lord, that you'll comfort each and every one of them in Jesus' precious name. And Lord, we do pray for Israel tonight. We pray that you indeed will bless them, that you'll be behind them, and we know you are. And Lord, we know that all things work to good to those who are called according to your plan and purpose, and Israel is your people. And Father, we just pray for them tonight, that the enemy will be defeated in Jesus Christ's name, and that all will be restored in the name of the Lord. We know this is a sign of the times, Lord, that you're coming again for your people. We pray tonight from your word that you'll even speak to us from these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I do take the promised Holy Spirit to help me right now. And I thank you that you will in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. You know, I was looking a lot through the book of Daniel, and then I didn't want to get too much on the fork. And there's so many things we could say about Israel. And Daniel clearly described the Gentiles' empires in his writing. We know that Daniel described, and as we can see in Scripture, Jesus also referred to this period of time in his teaching. And here in Luke 24, the nation of Israel trodden down in the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And we know the time of the Gentiles is a period in history when the Gentile nations dominated the world, especially Israel, and declared that Jerusalem would be seized. And its people dispersed, and different things happened to them, and the numerous Gentile nations, they're controlled Jerusalem in one time, but God give Israel back the nation. Israel become a nation again. We know that. And prophecy was fulfilled when Jeremiah was, it all came about, the words Jeremiah said, with the covenant, the nation of Israel, and the outcome of the Six-Day War in 1967. There was a Six-Day War, and once the time of the Gentiles ends, the Messianic kingdom will arise and encompass the whole earth and the kingdom, and there will be no end to that kingdom. So we know Israel became a nation again, and I don't want to get too much into tonight because there's so much in it, but I want to look at us and Israel and the wild olive and the original olive. I want to look at just a few things that tonight. Let me read you this from the Revelation of Jesus Christ message. Just a quotation here this evening, and I don't often read quotations, but I'm going to read this one tonight. And as we leave the type of Joseph, there is one more thing I want to bring to your attention about this end time. You recall that as Joseph stood before his brethren when Benjamin was not with them, he spake through an interpreter, though he knew the Hebrew well, he spoke to his brethren in another tongue. Did you know that the first Gentile age, the head of the gold Babylonian age, went out with a message in tongues written on a wall? Now he's referring to Nebuchadnezzar's time. This age is going out the same way. The abundance of tongues in this day is further proof that the Gentile times is over and God is turning back to Israel. Now we tonight mightn't think that, but in the 50s and the 60s, there was a real outpouring of the Holy Spirit in such a way that the gifts come back into the church. They were restored back into the church, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there was a mass where people were speaking in tongues. And even Reinhard Bonnke, when Reinhard Bonnke had his crusades, there was people baptized in the Holy Spirit in the thousands at one time. And you could hear multitudes speaking in an unknown tongue. And William Branham's telling us this is a sign. It's a sign scripturally, if we can see it, that the Gentiles' days is near up. And we're Gentiles. And our time is coming till a close. And God is going to turn back to Israel. He's coming soon, the Alpha and Omega, the prophet, priest, and king, all in all. The Lord God of hosts is coming soon, even so, Lord Jesus, the one and only true God, come quickly. So the Lord is coming very soon for his people. And he's coming for a people that's ready, and he's coming to take us. What we heard this morning about the word rapture was invented by a Jesuit priest, but we can use the word catching up. And catching ups in the Bible are catching away. And you can go back to Enoch in the Bible, and Enoch's the seventh from Adam, and we're in the seventh church age. And Enoch has a tight walk with God, and he was not, for the Lord took him. And we're actually going to be taken. The real Gentile bride of Jesus Christ is going to be taken. And the important thing tonight that you need is the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to tell you, you need the Holy Spirit. And you remember years ago, Brother Freeborn preached a message about the great train robbery. Then he referred it to the modern day church. That people that's been robbed because they're not hearing the Holy Spirit preached. And if the Holy Spirit's not preached, people are not going to receive it. And the first church preached the Holy Spirit, and we must preach the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is absolutely, according to Ephesians, the seal of God. Do you believe that tonight? And we need sealed with the Holy Spirit. And it's sad to say, there's not many places preaching with the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to get off the track tonight, but that is a fact. And we must preach the Holy Spirit. And you know the bride of Jesus Christ, everyone that says they're saved is not going in the catching up. Only those that's filled with the Holy Spirit is going into catching up. The rest classed as foolish virgins. They're virgins because they're justified state, so they're pure, but they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus himself preaches it in Matthew 24, where it talks about the 10 virgins, 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. Now I know many denominations preach that they're saved and they're not saved, but that's not exactly the way I believe it. And they might preach that, but I don't believe that. I believe it's the wise and the unwise, the foolish virgins had no oil. And when they come to get oil, it was too late. And they recognized one day there was oil, and they came to get it, and it was too late. And the rapture, the catching up, is going to take place, and it's going to be too late. You have to have the seal of God. That's why it's not important tonight. If you have a name above the door here, some denomination, that's not what God's looking for. God is looking that we're identified in Him, in Christ, and that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And He's promised if we obey Him, He'll give us the Holy Spirit. Now, we believe in tongues. I don't believe myself. Tongues is the evidence. I don't believe that. I've never believed that. And I speak in tongues, and I'm not ashamed that I speak in tongues, and I believe tongues is one of the gifts. But God could, the Spirit could come on you and you could prophesy. There's other things that you could do, but there's one thing for sure. When you get the Holy Spirit, you will not deny Jesus Christ. You'll not deny the truth. Amen. You'll believe the truth. Amen. That's one thing for sure. If you have the Holy Spirit, He will not deny His own self. Amen? And that's our real evidence. When we have the Holy Spirit, we will believe the truth, absolutely the truth of God. Now let's look for a moment, and I'll try and just show you a couple of scriptures, if I can, about Israel from the book of Romans here. And we'll go to chapter 11 of Romans. Chapter 11, and we'll see what Paul says in verse 24 to verse 26 of Romans chapter 11. And I just thought maybe it's good if I share this, because it's on the news. I shared a clip myself today on the Omega app thing about Israel's been attacked now. They've actually been attacked now. They're under siege, as it were. Different things is happening. It's like everything. I don't know everything, what all's the truth about it. It's like, you know, Ukraine and Russia. Now I know a fella that's out there as a security guard, and he says the half of what they're telling television's lies. He says you can go through most of the whole country. There's a bit of trouble in one part, the rest of it's fine. Hotels and everything's opening, and you can go in any restaurant you want. But when we see the news, you don't see that. Sure you don't. So you know, how many knows this evening that news broadcasts are full of lies? Look what they've done with Trump over in America. And if some old boy voted in, he can't even talk or nothing. And you asked him a question 2 minutes later, what did you say? That's what's running the country. Now you know you can't believe the media. If you do, don't believe the media. But here's someone we can believe. We can believe the word of God. Because God says He'll watch over His word to perform it and bring it to pass. That's what we can believe. Verse 24 of Romans chapter 11 here. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? So we were the wild by nature. Remember, Israel is the original one. Israel's the original one. But we as Gentiles were grafted in. Now, I never knew anything about grafting, and I still don't know a lot about it. But since then and now, when I went to Australia, and Brian and myself and John were going up through where the vineyards are, and Brian was explaining where the original vine that's there, the grapes on it weren't the ones that it first produced. But somebody had grafted in other grapes. Let's say for talk's sake, it's white. It's going to produce white wine, but the original was red. That's what happened. But the new one was living at the life of the original, but it was grafted in. And that's exactly what Paul's talking about, been grafted in. And the Jews were God's people, but God blinded them. And God blinded them for the purpose that we could be saved. But there's coming a time when the Gentiles, this whole thing's going to be reversed. So just as God blinded the Jews to save the Gentiles, God's going to blind the Gentiles and save the Jews. And we're going out of here. And you know, who'll agree with me tonight? Many Gentiles are blinded tonight. They don't want the gospel. They don't want nothing to do with it. They think they're all right. And this is one of the hardest ages ever to preach in. I believe that tonight. We look back to ages when God moved, and why can't we have it again? This is a totally different age. When you study your Bible, this is a time of cleaning. You know, when there was handfuls left and purpose, and you're going round the back of the hedges to see, could they get a bit? Could the main harvest that went through, where'd the end? And we're gleaning tonight. And I tell you, it's tough on a preacher when he's gleaning. And he looks back and somebody's seen a harvest. And then people compares that man to the man back there. But it's nothing to do with the man, it's the age. And the man doing the cleaning is going to get the same reward. And the one that comes in at the last hour will get the same reward than the one that came in the first hour. That's the Bible. But look at these branches in verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of them, this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness has in part happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So the Bible speaks of the fullness of the Gentiles coming in. And brothers and sisters, I believe we're coming to that time. We're really at when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. God has done everything he's promised to do to this Gentile church. We've had seven church ages. We've had the full restoration of all the gifts. And God has stamped it with his own divine approval. Now we're living in a time of lukewarmness. We're living in a time of scoffers, Timothy tells us. Where they'll say, where's the promise of us coming? We're living in a time for, he says, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Amen. And there's many today claim they're Christians, but they deny the real power of God. They deny it. They don't want it. And they'll ridicule you if you want it. I'll tell you that now. But there has to be a people. We're at the end time. We're right at the end time. And if you believe the seven church ages, each church age had a messenger. And you know the Revelations tells us seven stars in the hand of Jesus, and the star speaks of an angel messenger. So each church age had a seven church age messenger. And we believe we've had a messenger in the last church age. Absolutely. Now you'll not hear that nowhere else. How many will agree with me that's the truth tonight? That nowhere else preaches that. They will not preach it. But I'm preaching it and I believe it. But God's done it. And just like Paul was a messenger to the first church, and many of these things we have here, Paul's a man that wrote them. And he was inspired to God to write them. And John, over in the Isle of Patmos, you know all about what happened with John and everything and how God inspired him. But Paul's warning us, don't believe the fullness of the Gentiles come in, verse 26. And so shall all Israel be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. And when you read Jacob here, you know when you read Jacob, that's Israel. Because God said, I'll no more call you Jacob, but Israel. Is that the Bible? You remember when I preached, he wrestled him all night, and his thigh bone went out of joint. And he said, I'll not let you go to the blessed man. There's more to that there, you know, than just what happened there. That's prophetically speaking as well of his name being changed to Israel, that God will bless the whole of Israel. That's a prophetic word when you look at it right through the Bible. And my, it stands out. You can't really do nothing about it. It comes right out of it. And it's wonderful, and God will bless Israel. And I don't care what bombs are firing over there tonight, and I don't care what they're doing, Israel will win. And you know why Israel will win? Because God says she'll win. That's the end of it. Isn't that wonderful? You say, we're working with someone that's prophetic. And God's word's prophetic. And God watches over his word to perform it and bring it to pass. Aren't you blessed? That's why you're blessed, even if you pray for Israel. We're to pray for Israel, and we're spiritual Israel. Because we're the seed of Abraham by faith. They not will believe in the Lord Jesus. It's a spiritual seed. Praise God. There shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn the ungodly from Jacob. When we study Romans, the 11th chapter of Romans begins with a question. In Romans verse 1, let's look at this question. In verse 1 of Romans 11, say then, hath God cast away his people? That's the question Paul begins with. Has God cast away his people? Then Paul answers this question in reply. Has God cast away his people? And he says, God forbid. So even though Israel was blinded for a season and they're away for a season, you could take the whole trail of this thing and it would take you weeks to do it. But I was thinking about doing it, but it's that much in it. You'd have to go right back down there to Abraham, and then you'd have to take up with Abraham. You'd have to bring him right up through and up into Moses and the wilderness journey. And oh, there's so much in there. God's Bible's absolutely perfect. There's a trail right through it. And I tell you right how God brought them right through, and how they were under bondage for all them hundreds of years, and how God brought them out with a mighty hand. And every time they sinned against them, and God wanted to wipe them out, but he spared them. And how many times have we failed the Lord? Every one of us here tonight's failed the Lord at times. But the Lord's merciful to us, isn't he? I'm glad for that tonight. I've failed the Lord many times. I've said things maybe I shouldn't have said and done things. But the Lord's full of mercy, isn't he? But I tell you, see, this is the thing with God. He makes no mistakes when he writes his word. It's perfect. Paul answers his own question by replying, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew, in verse 11 of Romans 11. I say then of God, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. So God, in order to provoke Israel to jealousy, they've stumbled, he said, but they stumbled that we could be saved. Aren't you glad they stumbled? Aren't you glad it happened that we could be saved so that we could have the gospel of Jesus Christ? Thank God for that gospel. This have they fallen down so they never rise again. He replies, God forbid, but rather through their salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now there's two things important here. First, the Jews have fallen that the Gentiles may have a chance to be saved. So God allowed it to happen. There's things that can happen in your life and you can't explain it. That's the truth, you know. Even if you take this in a natural way from this spiritual lesson, things happen and there's no way you can explain it. But years later, if you were to look back on it, God could have been in it. It was for a reason. Then the second thing here is that the sight of seeing the Gentiles saved might, you know, make the Jews jealous. Why should God want to provoke the Jews to jealousy if he cast them off? And the apostle answered it, and here he adds it in verse 12. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminution of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? And you see, a richness came to us Gentiles. Do you know that tonight? There's a richness came to you, and the richness that came to you was the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is the richness that came to you and the richness that came to me, because God made these Jews slip and fall and he blinded them. The richness of the gospel came to us and we never paid nothing for it. It was free. He became poor that I could become rich. He took my place. But God's going to reverse this all in the sense of he's going to go back to the Jews. God's going to save the Jews. The Jews are not going to be lost. They're going to be saved. I'm not saying there's no Jews has got saved through the ages. I'm sure there is Jews that's got saved. How many believes that? Surely there is. But God knows what he's doing. You see, in Romans 15, it's well, chapter 11, for if the casting off of them be the reconciliation of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but the life from the dead? Isn't this some scripture, Romans 11, verse 15, for if the casting off of them be the reconciliation of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? So you see the way they're dead to God now, but he's going to come back to them. You know, when the Lord comes back to Israel, he's actually coming to them. How many knows he's going to appear to them as well? And you know, they're going to say, where did you get these marks in your hands? And he's going to say, I got these in the house of my friends. And God's going to save Israel one day. And Israel's going to get the same gospel we're getting. Now, I know some people don't believe that or preach that, but that's neither here nor there. That's what I believe. The real same Holy Spirit message, Pentecostal. It'll have to be a Pentecostal message because Moses and Elijah comes and preaches to them and they're sealed and they're kept with two seals. How many believes that? There's one seal, just like there's one Holy Spirit. Thank God for that tonight. You know, when the Jews come back to God, it will be like a resurrection, not of individuals, but of a whole nation. He's going to save them in one day. Now, here's an interesting thing, and I can't get into it tonight, but Israel's going to be saved in one day, and Rome will fall in one day. What do you think of that? And you think when Rome falls, God's people's going to do a hippie? Is it quiet in here tonight? But I'm telling you the truth, they're going to rejoice. How many believes are going to rejoice when Rome goes down? And you see Rome, she has killed the martyrs. You know yourself when you go right into it on Rome's own martyrology, 68 million in her own martyrology. I remember telling a fellow years ago, now I know this recorded, but you'll not know who I'm talking about, but I can tell you anyhow. I told him the priest knew more about his wife than he knew. Now he didn't like me telling him that. But if she went to confessional box, that was the truth. The priest knew more about his own wife than he knew. And I said, do you realize that Rome has 68 million in her own martyrology? And he was shocked. And that very evening he went home, put the television on, and the Pope was on apologizing for the martyrs. That very evening. They know they've done it. What about the people years ago that were prophetesses and apostles? And they killed them and said they were witches. You know there's lots in the English history like that. And then you know for they dug the old boy up and gave him a trial. And they set him in the chair and all and his bones were kicked over. You know all about that. And you know as well there was a black pope. And you know there was a woman pope. A whole lot of things you see in Rome. And it'll surprise you even more. Did you know there's priests today and they're married? Did you know that? There's priests in the Roman Catholic Church today and they're married and the families. Because they can't get nobody to join them. So they're secretly brought in. And there's a whole lot of things. And I'll tell you about that. You see the end time message movement. It was infiltrated years ago with a Jesuit priest. That's why there's so much false doctrine around it. It's corrupted. Because they infiltrated, it was infiltrated the Jesuit movement because they were afraid of the truth that was coming. They knew who the Antichrist was in Rome. So they got in amongst it. And you know all the nonsense come out of it, two lords and all that different stuff. And I'm not even going to go into the night. But you know I'm telling you the truth. And you know that man that Brother Brian preached for recently over there in America, Yvonne Carrion, his friend, a friend of Yvonne Carrion's, was a personal friend with Roberto Riviero. Who's ever heard of Roberto Riviero? The Church of Rome denies all about him, but his book's real. Get a chance, buy that book and read it. The rack in Rome made him disappear, just like that other wee nun as well. She disappeared. And don't you think they didn't do it, because they broke her bones and everything. And the horrible things today, there's one day there's a judgment coming for it. And God's going to judge it. You see, when the Jews come back to God, it will be the resurrection. Then the apostle changes the figure of speech here, and he talks about two olive trees. Now, I won't go to every scripture, but these two olive trees, but there's a lot of them. One he calls the good olive tree, the other he calls the wild olive tree, and he's already mentioned it here in the scripture we've read in Romans. And, you know, the olive tree, the good olive tree speaks of some, not all, of the branches being broken off, for there is a remnant of grace. Romans 11:5, and even so, at this present time also there's a remnant according to the election of grace. Now go to Romans 11:17-18, verse 22 and 20, and we'll just read these few scriptures for a moment this evening, and I won't try and keep this too long tonight. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in them, among them. Now you know when you read, when thou been a wild olive tree, that's a Gentile. That's what you're reading here. But we're not to boast ourselves. This is what Paul's bringing out here. And with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Verse 20. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Verse 21. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise I shall also be cut off. So we're not to boast in it. That God, Israel was blinded, and people, there is a boasting, even in films and all, we see it, and they really condemn the Jewish people and all that. But God done it. God made this thing to happen so that we could be saved. But you think of it like this here. Here's a good example. Just to let you see about them being blinded. It's the same with anything, even reading the scripture. You can read it 1,000 times. You'll never see it. Except the Holy Spirit lets you see it. You can't see it. You can't see it. It's like me trying to, if I believe something and I want you to see it, I can't make you see it. Only the Holy Spirit can make you see it. But you know, after Jesus was crucified and he's on the road to Emmaus, and the two met him. Now, how many knows they didn't know him? And they traveled with him all day long, and they talked with him, and they said, "He's a stranger in these parts. You've not heard what's happening and taking place." And they tell him all about it. But the whole time along, it's the Lord with them. But they didn't even know it's the Lord with them the whole time. Many times we're looking for the Lord, and he's right with us. But we can't really see it. How many sees that tonight? But when they turned in to break bread, they knew it was him because he let their eyes come open. And they seen him. And one morning, Israel will waken up, and God in his mercy will just take the scales off. And they'll know it, and they'll call on to the Lord. Now you remember as well that there's going to be a peace treaty made. And the nations of the world and everything's going to get together, and all these things are going to happen. And they're going to make a pact with Israel. And that pact's going to be broken in the midst of the week, and Israel's going to cry out to God. They're going to turn back to God, and they're going to cry out to God. And you know there has to be a man arise as well to save the world. How many knows the whole thing's in financial crisis right now? Now the Pope's a man. Don't you go looking nowhere else. The Pope's a man. And if you want proof of it, you get a book by Ira Manhattan called The Vatican's Billions. And you read that book and you'll go right back, right till America, before the 1900s, 1800s, where the priests from Rome bought up all the real estate. And they bought so much stuff, they're bullions now in the Vatican. And when everybody else is impoverished and have nothing, they'll come out with the money and say, "Here, we love you and we'll save you." But there'll be a price when that happens. And there'll be an Antichrist worship come in. And he, if your name's not in the book, and he's not talking about a church book, he's talking about the Lamb's Book of Life. And your name's in it from the foundation of the world, and all whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will fall down and worship the beast. It is God again in his sovereignty that knows who's going to do it and who's not. But it's all coming. It's all coming. These things are all coming. Isn't it an amazing thing the day that people are feared to call the Pope the Antichrist? And yet when you go back into all the teachings of all the early denominations, every one of them knew he was. Isn't that the truth? They knew who he was. Brethren, we need to not let these things slip. We need to hold on to them and tell our children about them and know the truth of God and know that God's going to do it. Now, we mustn't forget, listen to this, forget the root, the trunk, the tree was still alive. Just like when we saw them vines in Australia, the real vine was still living. Although there was another vine grafted in it, the real one was there. And you know, if the real one ever puts forth a branch, it'll be original. And how many knows that the branch was put forth the day of Pentecost? And the branch that was put forth the day of Pentecost, what did it bear? It bore the gifts of the Holy Ghost, because that's what was in it. And if a real branch puts forth the day from that original vine, if they're really living in Christ, the same thing will come out of it. Is that the truth? Absolutely the truth. And you see this while off, this branch here was grafted in, but there's original roots still there. The original trunk's still there. Many's ever cut a tree down and you come to find out in a few years it's grown again. Still living. You've cut it down, but it's still alive. Because there's something in it keeping it alive. And I tell you, that's Israel tonight. Now you know the wild olive was all the branches grafted in amongst them. And you know, become partakers of the root and the fatness of the good olive tree. And we become fat with the gospel. That's what, when you see that word fatness, that's the gospel. The gospel makes us fat, come by without money. It's the riches of the Lord. And then we see that the good olive tree is not rooted up and destroyed, and the wild olive tree planted in its place, but it still remains alive and gives life to both. You see, the wild olive is not living of another root, but it's living of the same original root that the good olive tree was. Even though it's been cut down, it's still living. And the wild olive tree's living off it. But that wild olive tree's going to come again. Israel's going to be saved. They're going to be saved. And the scripture to pray for Israel. And you know, even the book of Revelation, if you read that book, you are blessed. That's God's word. But it says you're blessed if you read it. You say, brother, how can I get a blessing from the Lord? Read Revelations. God bless you. It's another book nobody preaches on. Many people, they can't preach on it. But we know in the last days, God declared that book what it was. God declared it. Revelation 10:7, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mysteries of God shall be declared, made known. That's what it says. Finished. We're living in that time. We're promised under the spirit of Elijah, Malachi 4:5-6, Matthew 17:11. When the spirit of Elijah comes, there'll be a restoration of all things. God will bring us back to the original message, the original truth, what the first church had. Now we need to defend that, brothers and sisters. We need to not be ashamed of that. We need to defend that and believe it. Amen. I know you do. And don't think I'm telling you often this morning. You know, maybe it came across like that, but I didn't mean it like that. I apologize if it came across like that, but that was not, never my intentions that I'm giving you a telling off. I wouldn't want to do that because I'm nobody. Nobody. But I'm zealous for the Lord. I'm zealous for the Lord. The apostle Owen goes on to reprove the Gentile members of the church at Rome and their boasting, and the independent Jews and Christianity had supplanted Judaism. They're boasting about it. And we're not to boast. You see this, and I'm going to close because my time's going. I'm going to just read a couple of scriptures about Israel. But God's going to save Israel. It's going to go back to him. Jeremiah 30:10-11. Therefore fear thou not, my servant Jacob. That's Israel, saith the Lord. Neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of captivity. And Jacob shall return and shall be in rest and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. Verse 11. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in the measure, and I will not leave thee altogether unpunished. God's going to restore them. Now we know they already are a nation. And you know Israel has made stuff that the other parts of the world are using and they can't do it. That's how smart they are. That's the truth. They've made things. And you know the scripture, the desert will become, you'll work in it. Israel's done all that. Israel's done that because God has blessed them and God has restored them. Jeremiah 16:14-15. Therefore, behold, the day is come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I have given unto their fathers. God has promised to do it. And God is going to do it. And we've seen it. They've already become a nation. And I don't care what the broadcasting puts out tonight. And I'll tell you right now, they will do their dirty best to make it out that Israel's the guilty party. That's what they do every single time. How many knows that's the truth? Sex, same thing with Donald Trump. And I'm not saying I'm a Trump fanatic. I'm not. I don't even know much about the man. But I'll tell you one thing. Put him in a scale and Biden in the other. And Trump outweighs Biden 100-1 in my book. That's what I think of it. And I know nothing. But that's what I think. And if God has prophesied for Donald Trump to be president again, it'll happen. It will happen. And Al Biden will not be fit to do one thing about it. That's the thing about it. And no matter what cases he calls and all the rubbish he does, it won't make no difference. One more scripture and I'm going to close the night. God says, I'll never be dispersed. Jeremiah 24:6. For I will set mine eye upon them for good. And I will bring them again to this land. And I will build them and I will pull them down. And I will plant them and not pluck them up. There's a certainty for the Lord that Israel's going to have. And let me say tonight, we as Gentiles, we're going to live and reign with Christ on this earth for 1,000 years. And the devil's going to be bound for 1,000 years. We have great times ahead with the Lord. Let's stand our feet tonight. Praise the Lord. I hope you've been encouraged this evening. Praise God. Let's close our eyes. And if you want prayer tonight, please pray for me. And you know, more or less I'm going to get the sack tomorrow by the sounds of what I've heard. But there's about 10 people getting the road. And my name's on the list. So you pray the Lord will have his way. And pray for Sharon as well. She heard her back yesterday out the back. And pray for my children as well. I want to see them saved. I want to see them saved. And I believe in household salvation. They're going to come. Lift your hand to the Lord tonight if you want prayer in this house again. I know I've prayed before, but we'll pray again. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for the word of God. For the word of God is a lamp on our feet and a light on our path. Here a little, there a little. So is the word of the Lord. Line upon line, precept upon precept. So is the word of the Lord. Thy word will not return void unto thee, but accomplish that which you send it to do and prosper therein it. We bless you tonight for Israel. We thank you, Lord, you're going to save them. We thank you, Lord, you're going to turn back to them. But also we have a warning here for the Gentiles. Lord, that you're going to take your bride of this scene of time. And there's going to be people that's blinded. And we see, as Israel is blinded, the Gentiles are coming into that dispensation to be blinded. And it's all in your great plan. And Lord, we don't understand all these things, but we bless you. And we praise you tonight that the Lord that keepeth Israel neither slumbereth nor sleepeth, but your eye is on the sparrow and your eye is on me. We thank you for it this evening. We thank you, Lord, that you said there's not a hair of your head that falls to the ground, but the Lord knoweth it. And we bless you for that this evening. Father, I pray you'll bless everyone in this house tonight. All the children, bless them. These young boys and girls has took a stand for you. Lord, I pray you bless them mightily and keep your hand mightily upon them in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I pray for the households where there are children outside of you. I pray you bring them in, Lord Jesus, and save every one of them in Jesus' precious name. Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit will work on them and move on them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for the hands raised again tonight, for your mercy and for your grace to touch and bless everyone, to meet every need. I pray for Philip, Lord, that the right files will go forth. Lord, that everything will come together exactly the way it's meant to be. And that you'll get all the praise and all the glory. Pray you'll bless wee Laurie tonight. Pray you'll strengthen him. Lord, I just pray you'll touch him this evening and bless him where he's at tonight and comfort all the family. That's bereaved at this time, Lord Jesus. Father, just have your way in all of our lives. Forgive us, Lord, when we're in our own selves and do our own thing. Help us, Lord, to be led of the Spirit. Help us to be moved to the Spirit. Lord, I just pray you'll undertake in every situation and you'll bless everyone tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. The Lord bless you, to Brother Gary Combs. God bless you. There is a name I love to hear.
I love to sing its words. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. Oh,